Welcome to Interviews with Kimmy Rose and Donna Visaki, a lively and provocative conversation with some of the most dynamic change makers of our time. Be inspired by today's top metaphysical experts, authors, and speakers in the mind, body, and spirit arena. Get ready to ignite your beautiful spark and release the power within. Call Kimmy and Donna now at 888-627-6008.
Our guest today is Dr. Joe Dispenza. He's the best-selling author of Breaking the Habit of Being Yourself and Evolve Your Brain. Joe studied biochemistry at Rutgers University and also holds a Bachelor of Science degree with an emphasis in neuroscience and earned his Doctor of Chiropractic from Life University in Atlanta, Georgia. He received postgraduate training and continuing education in neurology, neuroscience, brain function, and chemistry, cellular biology, memory formation, and aging and longevity. One of the scientists, researchers, and teachers featured in the award-winning film, What the Bleep Do We Know? Dr. Joe has lectured on 6 continents and 27 different countries, educating people about the functions of the human brain. And I know this for a fact because I've worked with Joe extensively for a couple years. And we're going to talk about his new book, You Are the Placebo, which made it to the New York Times bestseller list in just 1 week. Welcome to the show, Dr. Joe.
Oh, I'm very happy to be with you guys.
Thank you for being present with us. Thank you.
And it's so exciting to talk to you because I did spend so much time with you. We put on a lot of events together about rewiring your brain, and it was just amazing. And I am loving your new book, and that, I know that's what we want to talk about today. But I read the preface, and this was the one of the key lines that stuck out for me in the whole book. It says, "In order for some of us to wake up, we sometimes need a wake-up call. In 1986, I got the call." Tell us about your call, Joe, because this is where it all started.
Sure. I was in a triathlon in Palm Springs, California, and I was on the biking portion of the race. And probably 5 miles into the race, I was coming up to a turn, and there were two bike cyclists on the turn that were negotiating the turn. And as I was approaching these two cyclists to pass them, there was a police officer standing on the opposite corner. He had his back to the oncoming traffic, and he was pointing at me and giving me permission to pass these bikers and make the turn. So I had my eyes locked in on him, and I wasn't looking at anything else. The problem was, when I made the turn, because he had his back to the oncoming traffic, he didn't see the car coming from behind him. So there was a four-wheel drive Bronco going about 55 miles an hour, and I got hit from behind and catapulted out of my bike and landed pretty hard on my back. And when you land with that kind of force, a compressive force like that, the blocks of your vertebrae, they get a tremendous amount of compressive force. And so I wound up fracturing a 6 vertebrae in my spine, T8, T9, T10, T11, T12, and L1. And one of the vertebrae was more than 60% collapsed. And when you collapse volume like that, bone fragments have. And in my case, it went back on my spinal cord. So also the arch of the vertebrae was more than, was broken like a pretzel. So now I had bone fragments on the cord, and I had pressure on the spinal cord as well. So the procedure is what's called a Harrington rod surgery, where they cut off the back parts of your vertebrae, and they put this long stainless steel rod along your spine. In my case, it would be from the base of my neck to the base of my spine, and then screw it in at different points. And when you screw the screws into the vertebrae, it cantilevers the spine off the fracture, off the cord, and pulls it off. So, and then they take some bone fragments from your hip and they place it over the top. Well, that didn't seem like the best move of choice for me, but the prognosis was if I didn't have the surgery, I'd probably never walk again. And so I went through quite a bit of internal turmoil, because I was weighing what I thought I knew against a new idea, a new paradigm. And so after 4 opinions from 4 surgeons, I decided to not have the surgery. And decided, well, geez, if there's an intelligence giving me life, that's keeping my heart beating, digesting my food, and I've distanced myself from that intelligence, haven't thought about it very much. Maybe I put all my attention on it now because I'm not going anywhere and doing anything. I'm basically laying face down. Maybe I can begin to give it a plan or a template or a design, something that I wanted, and make sure that I'm completely present with it when I do that, and then surrender my vision to a greater mind and allow it to begin to do the healing for me. So my first goal was to make contact with it every day, and my second goal was to not let any thought slip by my awareness that I didn't want to experience. That sounds really easy, except when you're facing crisis or trauma or disease or diagnosis or loss, we always tend to focus on what we don't want instead of what we do want. So that started the dark night of the soul for me, because I realized how unfocused and how emotionally out of balance I was. And so 6 weeks was, for me, the dark night of the soul, because I'd start off reconstructing my spine, and the next thing you know, I'd be thinking about living in a wheelchair, you know, and I'd say, oh, that's not the vision I want for this intelligence. So I'd stop and start all over again, and then I'd be halfway through it, and the next thing you know, I'd be thinking about, should I sell my home or should I sell my practice? And I kept losing my attention, and I wasn't present. And so I started getting more frustrated because I wasn't present, and things got worse. And so I went through a little period there where I had to settle my emotional body down, and I had to increase my attention span. And it took me 3 hours, literally 2 to 3 hours, to go through this whole process. And at the end of 6 weeks in doing all the work, I came to a moment where I went through the whole thing without losing my attention, and it was just like hitting a golf ball or a tennis ball right in the sweet spot. You know, something clicked. And that's when I started noticing some very significant changes in my health. I started to notice that my body was getting better, you know, sensation-wise, and pain was going away. And I started to correlate what I was doing inside of me with the results that was happening outside of me. But this time I started doing it with more passion and with more excitement. And what took me 2 or 3 hours to do, after a period of time, I was able to do it in 30 or 40 minutes because I was pretty much wiring new information in my brain, and was getting easier to revisit it, and my attention span was improving, and I started getting happier. I started to relax a little bit more. I wasn't so obsessed about the worst-case scenario. And I started naturally thinking about what I wanted to do if I was ever able to walk again, and I didn't know what I was doing at the time, but I was selecting potentials in the quantum field, and then I would just emotionally embrace them, like whether it was a sunset or sitting up and eating dinner or lunch or taking a shower and not having to lay in bed. I really just began to emotionally embrace every one of those scenes, and my body as the unconscious mind began to believe it was in that future experience in the present moment, and for the most part, I was signaling new genes in new ways, and my body was experiencing that future right in the now, and I got well really fast after that. And 10 weeks, I was back on my feet. 12 weeks, I was back to living my normal life, and I just made a deal with myself, you know, on those lonely nights, that if I was ever able to walk again, I'd spend the rest of my life studying the mind-body connection and how mind and matter somehow work together, and that's what I've been doing for the most part ever since.
Wow. It's an amazing story, and thank you for sharing that with everybody, because it shows that what you're talking about and the placebo effect and how our brains work, it really does work. So in the book, you go on to talk a lot about the placebo effect and what we typically know about the placebo, you know, sugar pills and things like that, and how people have been healed. Tell us a little bit more about that.
Well, the whole reason I wrote the book was because when we started teaching workshops and seminars around the country, after a certain time, we started seeing people raise their hands and write in our event and say, hey, you know, I've been paralyzed in my leg from MS for the last 10 years, and I can feel my foot again. And we knew that we were making substantial differences in people's health right during the event. It got me thinking about the placebo response. I mean, how can you give someone a sugar pill or a saline injection or perform some fake procedure or surgery? And a certain percentage of those people accept, believe, and surrender to the thought that that external event or substance is the verifiable thing. And the moment they do that, they begin to program their autonomic nervous system to make their own pharmacy of chemicals that matches the exact drug or procedure that they think they're getting. So the question is it really the sham surgery or the fake drug that's healing them, or is it the thought of combined with an elevated emotion that causes them to move into a new state of being? So do you need that external substance, or can you create your own state of being by thought alone? So we started measuring people and doing that exact thing, instead of putting their belief in something outside of them, putting their faith and belief within them and into the field of possibilities called the quantum field, and begin to produce the exact same state of being to program their autonomic nervous system to do what it does best, which is create homeostasis and health and balance. So when you understand the mechanisms of how the placebo response works, you understand what science has to say about it and how it occurs in the physiology. Can you teach people how to do it? Can they begin to become their own internal resource and begin to become their own genetic engineer? And can they begin to change their brain and body? And the answer is absolutely yes. So I tell a story in the book, really, where I go through some fun case histories and the science behind it and the history, and then the neuroscience behind how it all occurs, and then how genes work, and then ultimately show people how to get beyond their thinking mind to be able to program their body and brain, and then talk about beliefs and perceptions and give them the how-to, because we know that it actually works.
And, you know, I find it absolutely amazing for the reason that that the way the mind works. And I do have a question from someone he is 19 years old. He's very interested. This is my child. He saw me go through I had my tubes tied, cut, and burnt, and I had them put back together, and I used hypnosis while I was under having the surgery put back together. I was told my percentage of getting pregnant was very low, and I had two children afterwards. And he wanted to know, he said, is everything quantum?
Well, we need a bottle of wine and about 2 hours for that one. But the quantum field is an invisible field of information that exists beyond space and time. I mean, everything material, and it's pretty amazing because I was just reading an article in the newspaper on a flight home the other day, that one of the men that created this virtual particle called the Higgs boson particle, the God particle, in the article it said that everything material comes from this invisible particle, which it's the bridge between the immaterial and the material. It's the template. And people and things and places, I mean, they went down to details. And so everything material that we see has an invisible field of information that coherently is organizing energy into patterns of information called matter. So if you know how, then, to instruct that field, and you know how to get beyond space and time, in other words, you get beyond things and people, and you get beyond the conditions in your environment, and you get beyond time, you enter into a field of information where you are pure consciousness. That's what happens when you're in hypnosis. And so we know from our research that matter can't change matter. It doesn't work. The brain doesn't change the brain. The program doesn't change the program. The ego doesn't change the ego. It's only when you become pure consciousness, when you become an awareness and possibility. In other words, if you're going to heal by thought alone, you have to become thought alone. And when people begin to understand that when they are pure consciousness, then they can change their body because they are no body. They're beyond their body. If they want to change something in their environment, they have to get beyond their association and their identity connected to their environment. And if they want to create some future time, then they have to get beyond time. And we have all the biological and neurological machinery to do it. And I think the question really is, once you know how to do it, can you make it a skill? So it's all quantum. Everything material, it comes from an immaterial field of information. And that field of information is highly responsive to how we think and how we feel. In other words, a firm intention and an elevated emotion tends to be the two ingredients that begins to imprint information into this field. Opening up to this field of information, you're both sending information into the field and you are receiving information into the field, because the brain is both a sender and receiver of information. So interacting with it and beginning to use it in your life, now you become your own mystic. You become your own scientist in your own life, and you get to see and measure the effects of you at cause.
So in that is amazing. So would you say then you are producing a constant?
A constant, are you saying?
Like a constant, yeah, something that is a constant.
Yeah, I think you know, remember, the observer in quantum physics looks for the electron and tries to measure it. The moment they look for the electron, the electron goes from an invisible field of information and it collapses into a particle. That's called collapsing the wave function. The observer, the subjective mind, takes its attention off the atom and the electron, and it turns back into information, into possibility. So if you're observing your life from the same level of mind every day, you're causing infinite patterns of information and collapse into the same patterns of information consistently called your life. So if you begin to observe from a new level of mind and you begin to imprint on a consistent basis new information into that field, then you should be able to begin to make enough of an impression that energy finally slows down into matter, or a quantum experience or a new event occurs in your life. And now infinite fields of information collapse into new patterns called a quantum event or a new experience.
And that's beautiful. And then in that moment, you just become present with it, which the past really can't affect it, nor will the future. And is that correct? I'm really trying to see, like when you're talking about it, it makes sense, but I'm seeing like photons and I'm seeing a lot of different things kind of.
Well, let's make it really simple and practical, okay? If you wake up every morning, right,
mm-hmm.
and you have the vision of the toilet, you have a picture in your mind, and the next thing you know, your body is drawn to the toilet. You get off the toilet, next thing you know, you have a vision of a coffee cup. And then you have a vision of the coffee cup, and your body's drawn to the coffee cup. So then you drink your coffee, and then you have a vision of a shower, and then your body's drawn to the shower. This is what people do every day. They're affecting quantum reality, but they're only affecting the knowns. In other words, if you've been doing that and driving to work the same way and doing the same thing and seeing the same people, if you keep doing that over time, your past and your future are exactly the same. That's karma. And
yeah.
So you're siphoning energy off the present moment. Why? Because where you place your attention is where you place your energy. So if you keep putting your attention on knowns, you keep getting the known reality. So when you're truly present in the present moment and you can get beyond your body, your environment, and time, and you're relaxed and poised into the present moment, that's when all of a sudden you have a connection to a generous field of information in the present moment that you begin to access. So the challenge then, really, in the work that I've observed over the last several years is getting people to become present. And when they're present then, and they're not thinking about the particle in quantum physics, they're focused on possibility. They're not thinking about matter, but their attention is on energy. They're not living by the limited hormones of stress, of anger and frustration and insecurity and unworthiness and guilt and shame, but they're actually executing an elevated emotion, and they're breaking their body from the chains of the past. Then they're no longer defined as a memory of the past. They're being defined as a vision of the future, and that's when you start to see people do amazing things.
That is, to me, you can just feel it, and it really eliminates a lot of stress in your life because you're not constantly, you feel like you're digging a hole, you know? It's amazing. It just happens, and when you talk about the collective unconscious, I mean, is it possible that, you know, what you're teaching, as people really stay present and absorb the truth, that it is collectively moving out there and being, and it can, that the more we we operate in this way, the more we can collectively create a change.
Well, the answer is yes and yes. The first yes is if you see someone dance the salsa, you'll dance the salsa better. If you see someone hit a golf ball or a tennis ball, you see Serena Williams hit a tennis ball well, you'll hit a tennis ball better. If you see someone lead with compassion in their life, you're more prone to lead with compassion in your life. And if you see someone stand up on a stage and say, I was diagnosed with this condition, and every day I change my state of being, it took me a year, but I no longer have this disease, you're more prone to accept that it's possible for you. So there's the physical evidence that we get to observe because of mirror neurons, and then we get to emulate it as possibility for ourselves. That's cool, because the demonstration of anything, just like the four-minute mile, the moment there's a crack in that, then everybody believes and surrenders that it's possible. But then in terms of the quantum model, that the field of information is looking for new information all the time. And so when people start to emerge with a greater understanding and are able to create new experiences, those new experiences imprint information into the field, and they're more readily available because now that information really has been impregnated into the field. As an example, if you take a group of people that are experts in crossword puzzles, and you have them do a crossword puzzle and you time them, let's say it takes an hour. Then you take another group of people the next day that are experts in crossword puzzles, and you give them that same crossword puzzle that they've never done before. They do it in much less time. That's because the information is already in the field and they're able to draw from that information. So it's the same thing what we're doing here. If you begin to overcome the conditioning that you need a flu shot because the flu is going to get you in the wintertime because there's bugs out there that are going to get into your body and make you sick. If you accept that thought, you don't even need to be exposed to the bacteria. You'll create sickness on your own. So there's a deprogramming process that goes on along with the ability to be able to try these principles out. So we have to wake up first to how programmed we are and then reprogram ourselves into a new state of being.
Tell us about genes. How do genes tie into all of this? Because so many times you hear people talking about, well, you know, my aunt had, or my mother had breast cancer, and my grandma had breast cancer, and so I have a propensity to have breast cancer and things like that. Are we talking ourselves into things?
Oh, well, there's, you know, first of all, there's a myth about genes that we have to become aware of, and genes do not create disease. Less than 5% of the people on the planet are born with a genetic condition like cystic fibrosis or sickle cell anemia or Tay-Sachs disease. The other 95% acquire diseases through lifestyle, through the choices, through the mismanagement of behaviors and emotions. So your body's a protein-producing machine. Every single cell in your body makes a protein. Muscle cells make muscle proteins. They're called actin and myosin. Your immune system makes immune proteins. They're called antibodies. Your thyroid cells make thyroid proteins called thyroxin. So in order for you to make a protein in a cell, you have to have a gene that's activated. So we have pretty much 1% of our DNA activated to make proteins. The other 98.5% is called junk DNA. Now, out of that 1.5% of those genes that we express, those genes are a parts list of potentials. They are latent possibilities. So then, if you have 100,000 proteins in your body, and you have 40,000 proteins that make those proteins, then according to our model, we should have 140,000 genes that make 140,000 proteins. Well, that's not the case. We only have 23,600 plus genes that make over 140,000 proteins. Well, what does that mean? It means that our genes are not our destiny. It means that there must be a signal outside of the cell, some instruction from outside of the cell that begins to turn certain genes on and turn other genes off. And genes are like Christmas tree lights. They're either upregulating, getting stimulated and turning on, or downregulating or turning off. So if you keep thinking the same thoughts, making the same choices, performing the same behaviors, living the same experiences, and creating the same emotions, then you keep the same Christmas tree lights on and the other Christmas tree lights off, and you keep activating the same gene from outside of the cell, sooner or later you're headed for your genetic destiny. So if you have a genetic propensity for cancer, and you're going to be emotional and reactionary and produce the same emotional signal outside of the cell, then you'll signal the gene for the same condition. But just because you have a gene for a certain condition doesn't necessarily mean it's activated. So people, when they begin to realize that their genes can be turned on and off, the research shows, it's called epigenetics. It shows that, wow, you can upregulate 1,561 new genes if you meditate for 6 weeks and begin to relax your stress hormones or your stress response. That means you upregulate 870-plus genes for an immune system function and health, and you downregulate genes for cortisol production just by changing your inner state. So we are our own genetic engineers, and that we have the ability to control our genetic expression, and that's exactly what people do when they heal themselves. But they don't go, okay, certain genes switch on. That doesn't work that way. The way the gene gets switched on is that there has to be an amplitude of emotion that is so elevated that it becomes almost like energy. And when we begin to elevate our emotional states, the receptor sites on the outside of the cells are 100 times more sensitive to electromagnetism than they are to chemistry. Chemistry is the downward causation. So when we begin to create an energy or an amplitude of emotion that's greater than the emotion that signaled the gene in the first place, that programmed it in the first place, that's the moment we begin to rewrite our past. That's the moment the past no longer exists. So we've seen it over and over again, that people with, even some people born with genetic disorders, where the gene was activated, where medical science had no solution for them, there are people in our work that have turned genetic diseases around because they knocked on the door every day by changing their state of being. And the redundancy of that over time finally switched the gene on and it became programmed, and now the gene for that condition is downregulated and the gene for health is upregulated.
In essence, it's like a prism, we're receiving, and it's just beautiful, and it's amazing. I had wrote down, actually, I've watched a lot of your videos, and there's a quote, you can correct me if I'm wrong, but I have it pasted on my wall. It says, we should never wait for science to give us permission to do the uncommon. If we do, then we're turning science into another religion. And I love that because I believe that it's about just like what you're saying, just do it. Just do it. It doesn't have to be tested. If you practice it in your own life, that's the way you really true. How do you, I mean, like so many, don't you find there's a lot of fear? And I don't know, my grandma and grandpa, they'll go to the doctor and, you know, they see these miracles happen, you know, or the miracles are truths that happen, yet they're so stuck in that reality, that programming. So, and so it's, what does it hurt to just try, right?
Well, I think this is a time in history where it's not enough to know. It's a time in history to know how. And people are really fascinated about the how-to, which wasn't the case even 5 years ago. So I love the idea. I mean, I think it's a great idea because, wow, if you and I can begin to demonstrate this, you don't need to know the science. The science just gives you permission to do it. But if you're waiting for science to give you permission, then you miss out on possibility. We should go out and do the uncommon, and we should do it consistently. And if we're able to do anything consistently, it becomes a new scientific law. Now science has to come and study us and say, what were you doing in order to produce those effects? Because we have to upgrade our model to reflect what exactly you're doing. So I like that idea because people are waking up to the understanding that you don't need the science. The science is just to assign meaning to what you're doing. But mystics and saints and poets in antiquity have been saying the same thing. But science is the contemporary language of mysticism now. Science is the best way to demystify the mystical. So you take quantum physics and neuroscience and neuroendocrinology and epigenetics, and you give people the understanding of what they're doing. Well, knowledge is power, but knowledge about yourself is self-empowerment. But you don't need to know any of that stuff, because you can move into new states of being, and your biology will reflect that new state of being.
So how do people do this, Joe? Does the book, You Are the Placebo, give people a direction on how to change their thinking?
Well, I work the book out into two parts. First part is called information. And if you give people information, learning information is making new connections in your brain. If they can understand and comprehend what they've learned and are able to repeat it, they're wiring it in their brain. If you can give them some instruction and get their behaviors to match their intentions, they should have a new experience, and that experience should create some type of transformation. So the book is designed in two parts. The first part is the information so that you can assign meaning to what you're doing. Once you know what you're doing and how you're doing it, it gets easier. So then the second half of the book is about applying that information. Knowledge is the precursor to experience. So in order for you to begin to become your own placebo and you understand the science behind it, now you got to try it out. Now you got to actually take an application. So if you're able to produce the exact state of mind and body that I'm talking about in the first half of the book, you should begin to experience the truth of your own efforts. So the second half of the book is really the how-to, and there's a meditation that comes along with it that you can download for changing a belief or perception, or one or two beliefs or perceptions. And we've used this meditation quite extensively in a lot of the workshops we've done around the world, and we've seen some pretty amazing changes.
So is
I totally, when you're talking about this, I can say 100%, this is the truth. And in my own life, I've seen it happen. I've seen it happen in I was trained under Dr. Alan Chipps, who just was an amazing man. And he passed away a couple of years ago, but he wrote a book about called Cure Your Cancer Without Killing Yourself. And it's amazing, and the way you present things, I love it, because there's humor, it's like you come from the heart, and you can feel yourself. I could feel myself shifting, and I'm just curious about DNA, you know, and light. Like, can our DNA be shifted also through this?
Well, our DNA is shifted through this. When we talk about changing your genes, you're literally changing your DNA, but you're not changing, in the sense, the makeup of your DNA. What you're changing is the expression of it. So Okay. Epigenetics says that in one DNA strand, in one gene, you can have 35,000 different variations on that same exact strand. So there's so many possibilities and potentials that the DNA can respond to that really transcends our limited understanding. So the other 98.5% that's sitting there is really a library of possibilities. Now, getting the right information to the cell, the right instruction to the cell to select the right gene, really has to do with how we manage our inner states.
Oh, that's beautiful.
Inner state.
And I know we have to wrap up, Joe. Thank you so much for being with us. Let everybody know where they can find your book and get more information on Dr. Joe Dispenza and any upcoming events you have. Where can they find that?
Sure. Let's see. The most common place to get the book right now is on Amazon. It's available there. It's also available on Barnes & Noble. It's on our website, Dr. Joe Dispenza, drjoedispenza.com. And Hay House also has it available, but the most common way is pretty much Amazon. The website has a calendar of all the events that we do. We do workshops pretty much around the world now. I was just in Switzerland last weekend. I'll be in Vancouver on the 17th for Hay House of this month of May. Oh, I'll say that again. You guys are airing this in June, right?
Yes.
Ladies? Okay,
yep.
Take that again. Okay. Where I'll be in June, I'll actually be in Australia, and then I'll be in Baltimore, and I'll be in Denver on June 27th and 28th, and then in July, we're doing workshops pretty much around the world. So I guess the best thing is to just go to the website. There's plenty of content about where we are.
Thank you so much, and bless you for the wonderful work you do. And I just want to just share with everyone, just believe, just channel it in, because it's the absolute truth. Thank you for your wisdom.
And I want to add to that, because I have, like I said, I worked with Joe, and I have seen some of these things happen. I have witnessed some of the healings that people have had in these by shifting their brain and in these workshops and everything. So thank you, Dr. Joe, for sharing with us today Dr. Joe's book, You Are the Placebo, Making Your Mind Matter. It's been a pleasure to have you with us.
Oh, thank you, guys. It was fun.
Thank you.
Are you looking to live a more expanded and balanced life? Do you hunger for information about the mind-body-spirit connection? Hi, this is Donna, here to share how you can ignite your passion for expanded living with Bella Spark magazine. Bella Spark brings you informative articles on spiritual evolution, alternative healing, sustainable living, diet, nutrition, life after death, and cutting-edge developments on topics such as the quantum field and more. With each issue, Bella Spark magazine shares in-depth feature interviews with the most prominent voices in the spirit, mind, body arenas. Popular food bloggers bring you new and delicious recipes, and each issue provides the information, insight, and inspiration you need to reveal and nurture your own unique, beautiful spark. Subscribe today and get your first issue free, only $15 per year. Ignite your spark and live your life on purpose. Sign up today at BellaSparkMagazine.com.
Kids are going through challenges more and more these days, and Bedford Public Schools and the community has joined together to celebrate Bedford on Friday, June 27th, kicking off the evening with fireworks, and Saturday, June 28th with a parade, a color run, and Matthew Caracas from the band Citizen, Sam DiArmond, Chris Caracas, and others during the day to pay respect to the many kids who've passed away from Bedford Schools. And in the evening, there will be a concert, a tribute to the Eagles. Tickets are $7 to raise money for a Tree of Life to be placed in the courtyard at Bedford High School. Purchase tickets at Light the Way by calling 734-854-1514. Celebrate Bedford. Celebrate life. Are you interested in weekly guidance, classes, family retreats, and a support system that helps your family through the ups and downs of life? Go to KimmyRose.com and sign up for her weekly newsletter. Read articles that will lend support to your family, and check out the weekly forecasts for you. Take a look at the week ahead. Kimmy Rose is the minister of Sanctuary of Light and dedicates her time to working with families with gatherings, a community garden, and space where you can spend quiet time.
Hi, this is Kimmy. If you want to get a hold of me for a reading, a crystalline consciousness session, or Reiki, or you're interested in classes, come and visit me at Light the Way. You can go to LITETheWay.com or you can call 734-854-1514. That's Light the Way, LITETheWay.com. Welcome to Interviews. I'm Kimmy Rose and Donna Vasaki. We're joining you today. Gosh, I cannot believe it is the beginning of July and not too many days until we're going to be celebrating. It's not really our country's birthday, is it?
It's our Independence Day,
Independence.
I think. Maybe it is our birthday, the 4th of July. I guess that would be it. Our Independence Day would be our birthday. Yeah.
Okay. So, So celebrating our birthday. Let's see. So was it 1776? I can't remember.
Yes.
76. No matter what day it is, it's nice to just celebrate life, and celebrating life is important. And I was thinking of this quote, and I have this quote on my wall at work. It says, "If you want to heal the body, you must first heal the mind." And as I thought about that, I thought, wow, that is so powerful, because our minds are what control everything in our body. I mean, our mind, our brain controls the way the oxygen flows. You know, it is our central, it's our computer. You know what I mean? It's our computer. And I'm so excited because today our guest is going to be Dr. Joe Dispenza. And it has a lot to do with what that quote is. And that quote's in my mom's office. It's in my office. I just really, really believe that's true.
I think you're right. And Joe talks a lot about that in his book. So we're going to cover that in detail after we take our break in just a couple minutes. But, our minds really control a lot about how we live. We believe that we're healthy. We might believe that we're rich or poor or smart or good or bad. Or whatever, whatever we believe in. The unfortunate piece is that so much of that goes on, the information that comes out of our mind is like pre-programmed. It's stuff that we picked up from our parents, our teachers, society in general, the media, or whatever. It's not even our thoughts. And that's the fascinating part.
I know, isn't it interesting? And that's why I think I stay away. It's funny, when you were saying... you were saying about what I was saying, well, what is it, our birthday? And we're like, yeah, it is. But we, neither of us probably watch a lot of TV news. We tend to use our minds to connect with what's going on, And I laugh because it's the truth, It really is. And then Dr., what I love about Joe Dispenza, Dr. Joe Dispenza, is he's funny. He knows how to really keep you captivated, as he speaks about things.
And he's really good at explaining the more technical, analytical stuff so somebody like myself can understand it.
Right.
Yeah.
And I think that is so, I'm a very analytical person too. And I know that sometimes people will tease me. They'll say, well, you're up in La La Land. I know, I'm an Aquarius. I need to see it. Show it to me. That's why I also am a hypnotherapist. So, but our minds are very powerful. And those tiny little neurons, our neurotrophins, boy, can we do a lot. So when you start out your morning, what's the first thing you think?
And quite often, the first thing we think is the same old thing that we've been thinking, over and over and over. We do the same things. And if we can change our thoughts just a little bit, change what we do, change our routine, can have a big effect on us.
Yes. And, it's like, I just feel like the routine is a big thing, because I know when you were with me, how much routine, I'm a very routine person, aren't I?
Yes. Well, I think we all are.
Were you surprised?
No.
I am like shocked. I'm just giggling because I thought you'd be shocked, because you know how I can be kind of like, all over the place. But to me, it's like, I just gotta go, and I gotta go get my granola bar, and then I go do my next thing, and then I just feel like I have the rest of my day. Then I can, if it gets a little bit topsy-turvy, that's okay.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
But I love Dr. Joe Dispenza is amazing. My teacher Alan Chibbs, he passed away, but I know had and you know he. Knew Dr. if he had his hands on his books while he's teaching hypnosis, which I'm going to be doing some hypnosis classes coming up in the new year. His book is going to be one of my required books. And he's got, he talks about breaking the habit of being,
of being yourself. Yes.
I mean, yeah. I can go through every one of his. I mean, it's amazing. I just can't. Yeah. It's like he's just amazing. So
yeah, it's gonna be fun.
I feel and blessed.
I love talking to Joe, and I worked with him quite a bit. I love his workshops in that. He's an amazing teacher in that, and it really works. And you know what? We have to take a break. But when we come back on interviews today, we will be talking to Dr. Joe Dispenza. So stay tuned. We'll be right back on interviews with Kimmy Rose and Donna Vasaki right after this.
Light the Way has been in business for 18 years. Kimmy and her mom, Carolyn, would like you to stop in and say hi. As well, our services of consultations, Reiki, massage, hypnosis, and CCT, we have a gift shop. Books, candles, and essential oils, jewelry, gift certificates are always available. Just 5 minutes from Toledo in Lambertville, Michigan, located at 8050 Sommerfeld Road. Call us at 734-854-1514. We're open 6 days a week. On call 24 hours a day for you at 734-854-1514 or visit www.lighttheway.com. In or phone Light the Way for a psychic reading, massage, dream interpretation, Reiki, CCT, or hypnosis. Open 6 days a week and located at 8050 Sommerfeld Road, Lambertville, Michigan. We're just 5 minutes from Toledo, and our family's been operating for 18 years. We offer phone readings 24 hours a day by calling 734-854-1514 or visit lighttheway.com. Light the Way is still open, then you can call Kimmy or her mother Carolyn for a psychic consultation, astrology, massage, Reiki, CCT, or hypnosis at 734-854-1514. You can also pick up a copy of Kimmy's book, Wake Up Your Intuition, The Sun, Moon, and Venus, a simple guide on how to get the most out of your man, chicken soup for the power mom soul, and bless you book. We do telephone and in-person appointments. We are located at 8050 Sommerfeld Road, near the corner of Sommerfeld and Secker Road. Visit lighttheway.com. Want to stop smoking and just need a little help? Need to fit into those shorts? Hypnosis can help. Go to lighttheway.com and see the many pictures of people who have lost weight and kept it off. We also sell CDs and MP3s. Call Light the Way at 734-854-1514. We do hypnosis for smoking, weight loss, anxiety, and many, many more things. located just 5 minutes from Toledo in Lambertville, Michigan, Light the Way, guiding you down a better path. That's lighttheway.com.
Welcome back to Interviews. I'm Donna Vasaki here with Kimmy Rose, and we were just visiting with one of our favorite teachers, Dr. Joe Dispenza. I hope you enjoyed that visit. You know, again, it's an amazing time, and there's so much truth to what he has to share about how our minds can really change our life, and that we can create health and wealth, abundance, whatever it is you want to create in your life, but just by changing your thoughts about things. What do you think, Kimmy?
I am gonna not think too much, but no, I agree with him, and I was just laughing because he said something and it was pretty powerful. And I don't know, it's funny, it stuck in my mind. And Donna, I was going through my paperwork and notes. And he said, can you believe in a future that you can't see or experience with your senses, but that you've thought about enough times that it's now wired into your brain? And I went, yikes. I'm not going to think too much right now. And I, because, you know, after having him on the show, I think some stillness will do.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's powerful.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, when we really look at the ability to create new thoughts through consciousness, whether it be through stillness in the mind and just being quiet, we can really maintain and sustain them. And mm-hmm. I do believe that is called the law of repetition.
It is. Joe teaches that a lot in his classes, too, about continuously practicing that over and over and over and that until you actually believe it. And I think that's so important.
I'm going to post that on our website, too, because I think it's really important. I'd love to hear people's feedback. Mm-hmm. I'm going to say not people, we are people. I'd love to hear your feedback because I know you're listening, and I know that because you're listening, this is really important to you. So whether you've got something going on in your life where you've drawn a dis-ease into your life, or maybe you are just going through something really tough and you're like, this can't happen, it's not possible. You know, there is a way to change and shift things, mm-hmm. but how do you do it? I'll tell you what, it's not hard, but it does take some discipline. And Dr. Joe's book really, I have to say, not just his book. He's written more than one book. And mm-hmm. If you get a chance, you know, to go over to, you know, go, you can Google him, and he's all over the web, all over the web. Mm-hmm. And he's just wonderful. Actually, Gaiam TV did a wonderful interview with him. I had been watching that. And it's just, if anybody get a chance to go over to Gaiam TV, the interview is spectacular.
Yeah. Well, and you know, I did his workshops in that, and one of the things that he talked about in his interview today was when he had his accident and he had to work, you know, try and heal himself, and that is the discipline that it took, because he would start this meditation and work it way through visualizing everything, and then his brain would start chattering or whatever, and he'd get sidetracked, so he'd start all over again. And he's so disciplined, because I've seen him, you know, with his meditations. But it's all about quieting the mind and learning how to do that. And it is. It's not hard, but it just takes willingness to do it. So
and willingness.
It's possible.
So it's mm-hmm. so if you're out there, and I hear this from people, I can't do that. Or, you know, I hear the word maybe. And I don't know why, but it used to be okay to hear maybe. Now I don't want to hear it.
Yeah.
It's just like, no, just do it. You could do this. I promise. It's possible. And, well, no, I'm not going to carry, I won't carry you on my back, but I love you. I'll care about you. I'll help you. I'll support you. But you could do it on your own. And I think we give more respect and support to those that we love when we allow them to do that.
Mm-hmm. That's right. And, Kimmy, we're going to have to wrap this up in a couple minutes. So tell us any upcoming classes and things that you have for July.
Yes, I do. I have, and July the 19th, I will be in London, Ontario. I'm doing a talk that I will be doing throughout the year, and it's all about intentional communities. And, you know, there's a funny movie with Jennifer Aniston in it, and it's not exactly the type of community that, but it's cute, it's funny, and I love it. But it really is about, no matter where you are, how you can create this wonderful bond with friends and get things done and just, you know, not feel alone. I mean, there are people out there. And so I want to invite everyone over to KimmyRose.com, go over to Prisms of Light. If you have something you want to say and you would like, or do you need something in your life? You know, one man wished for, he had a paperclip. He traded a paperclip and he got a house. I have started working on a journey, and the journey I've been working on is manifestation. So people putting energy out there and connecting with each other, and I saw somebody get a couch last week just through doing that. So make sure you go over to my website. And you, Donna.
Check that out. Well, and the next issue of Bella Spark magazine comes out tomorrow, July 1st.
Oh my goodness.
So, got a great issue again. Interesting topics in that, as always. So, I welcome you to check that out. Go to bellasparkmagazine.com for the newest issue. And if you like reading your magazine the old fashioned way, you know, there's a button on there that says, subscriptions, and we'll stick it in the mail for you in that, but check it out. It's a really good issue. And I'm planning some Extraordinary People series coming up in the fall, and I just booked Panache Desai for October. So our listeners here are the first to know about that, and I am so excited. You know, we interviewed him on the show just a couple weeks ago. What a delightful, amazing man. And so I'm so excited to be bringing him to Fort Collins. That's going to be in the October 24th and 25th. So posted on that. We'll keep you updated with more information as we pull all of that together. And so it's going to be fun. Yeah, lots of exciting things going on. And I want to let everybody know about our guests for next week, Andrew Cameron Bailey and Connie Baxter Marlowe. They wrote the book, The Trust Frequency. And I absolutely love this book, and a lot of it I know, but it really clarifies things and helps me to understand the way the universe works, how all of this energy works, how connecting to source and how it can change our lives and everything. They've got it all laid out in this book, and it's wonderful. So I invite you to listen, join us next week as we visit with them, and it's going to be a great show. So thank you for being with us this week. It's been fun as always. Hope you have a wonderful 4th of July, and enjoy the fireworks and your family and community.
And community, and don't forget that every morning that you wake up, take a deep breath, exhale, and connect with yourself, and then send that energy outward, and exactly what you need in your life will show up. Have a great week, and we'll talk to you next week on interviews.
Interviews with Kimmy Rose and Donna Visaki can be heard here every Monday on the PBS Radio Network at 11 a.m. Pacific, 2 p.m. Eastern on Station 1. Visit Kimmy on her website at KimmyRose.com and Donna on her website at BellaSpark.com. Thank you for joining us today.